Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. I'm so glad you decided to join me tonight. We're going to be talking about the election. Everything there is to know about this election, we're going to be talking about it. Tonight is November 6, 2012. This is the day that we will go to the polls, or if we haven't already gone to the polls, and we will be electing the 45th president of the United States. As MSNBC did an exit poll today, they said 52% said that the country was headed in the wrong direction, while 46% said that the country was headed in the right direction. So what does that really mean for this election? As we better understand the Electoral College versus the popular vote, again, what does that really mean for this election? Well, tonight I have some very intelligent people that should be calling in throughout the night to tell me what they think it all means. I won't have to figure this out by myself, y'all, because looking at the polls today and watching MSNBC, watching Fox, watching CNN, it really looks like this is too close to call, even though they may be telling us that they know who's going to win this election. There is absolutely no way. I'm looking at the polls as they're coming in just about 7:15. I stopped watching the numbers, but they're calling quite a few states, which I'm looking at 1% of the vote is in, and they're already calling certain states for Romney, certain states for Obama. Anyway, I want to know what you think tonight. I want to know what your experience was as you went to the polls today. What was the atmosphere like? Were there any machines malfunctioning? How long were the lines at your polling place? Was there any voter intimidation going on at your polling place? We'll be talking about all that tonight. I voted today about 3:15 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I will be honest, I was only one person. There was only one person in line ahead of me, which I found that to be very, very suspicious because knowing what we know about this election and how most of us consider it the most important election of our lifetime, how is it possible that only one person would be ahead of me on election day? Well, somebody said maybe everybody early voted, but I doubt that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me introduce my panel that's here, and the rest will be calling in as the night goes on. Tonight we have Ms. Kimberly North. Kimberly is an ex-Blog Talk Radio host. And then we have Mr. Jonathan Maxwell. Jonathan Maxwell is author of Murderous Intellectuals, a book that we've done here on Center Stage. And if you haven't heard that show, I suggest you check it out, and also go out and get that book. Good evening, Kimberly. Good evening, Jonathan.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Thelma Tormina is supposed to be chiming in later tonight, Kyle Sleet, Paul Stockard, and Chris Stevenson, y'all. Listen, have both of you all voted?
Oh, absolutely.
I have not voted.
Kimberly's still there. Kimberly, I thought maybe you had a change of heart between the last show and now, but no, huh?
No change of heart.
Oh, wow. Well, Jonathan, what was your experience when you went to the poll?
Well, I got up nice and early. I guess I arrived about 8:30 in the morning. And even though I actually reside in a very small town, the place was very, very busy, which I found to be very encouraging. Lovely, you know, your experience seems to be, you know, very much in the minority from what I've been reading, from what I've been keeping up with. The turnout for this election is just going to be enormous.
Justin, you know, don't get me wrong, I was very shocked. But when I drove up to my polling place, I saw the signs out. This is the normal place I vote at. And I will be honest with you, it looked like a ghost town. I thought maybe because it's a church, I thought maybe they had switched where we're supposed to vote at this year. And I saw one other car turning in just before me, and that's the person who was in line ahead of me. Pretty much, it was a ghost town. which I was very shocked at. So I'm not sure if I'm believing everything that I'm hearing, because that was my experience today in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Have you considered that you yourself might be a victim of some sort of fraudulent activity going on?
No, trust me. This was a polling place, and there were other people that had voted and were leaving as I got there. But there was only one person in line ahead of me.
It's been shocking the amount of fraud and dishonesty that's been going out. There were actually flyers that have been distributed in, say, Hispanic communities, saying that the election day was November the 7th or November the 5th, what have you. It's just absolutely amazing how ugly the races have gotten. It's a very unfortunate aspect of, elections in America these days.
Well, I heard about machines where people were voting for Obama and they got Romney, or they were voting for Romney and got Obama. You know, so I'm not sure if that was just a fluke, and it just...
Those were just mechanical flukes, and from my understanding, those have been corrected. They've been, recalibrated, so they're functioning normally now. And, the votes have been recast. So there's no problem there. But as far as allegations about voter fraud, people trying to vote twice or what have you, that's been virtually a non-entity. There was a woman arrested today for trying to vote twice, but as far as that goes, I haven't heard anything else like that. I think a lot of these Republican accusations about voter fraud, I think a lot of that has been racially inspired. I think a lot of it is dishonest. I think in a lot of ways it's a non-issue. Whereas the Republicans have been guilty of, doing some pretty disreputable, dishonest things during this election cycle. And of course, I'm referring to, the flyers being distributed in, Hispanic neighborhoods saying that the election is going to be held on the 5th or the 7th or what have you, deliberately trying to mislead people.
Well, Kimberly, have you heard of any intimidation or things like what he just mentioned?
I've seen a couple pictures, online, and I did see a couple videos of the voter machines, when somebody would go to select one of the two candidates, that it would, if they went to select Obama, it would stay with Romney or vice versa. But I did see people, there was something painted in one of the polling places. It had a picture of a mural of Obama on there that I thought was kind of, biased or whatnot. But I think in my opinion that it's all kind of voter fraud in the whole sense, I find it odd that 1% of the polls are reporting and they already are calling, the electoral votes, and they've already know who's winning different states. It's just, I find that all strange anyways.
And and I'm with you there, because I've been watching Fox and MSNBC, like I said, and CNN, and some of the numbers that have come in so far I find shocking, because like you say, the polls just closed. And I would think it would take more time to count the vote than what they're saying, but they were calling Obama to have Vermont, New Hampshire, Illinois, Delaware, Connecticut, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Rhode Island, D.C., and Maine. While they said Romney, and this was as of about 7:15 Central Standard Time, y'all, they said Romney had West Virginia, Kentucky, South Carolina, Indiana, Georgia, Virginia, Alabama, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Indiana, and Arkansas. And I was thinking, I'm looking over at the corner, and it's only saying 1% of the vote is in But they were saying, like, you know, one candidate may have like 60-some percent to the other candidates, maybe 30-something percent. But still with only 1% reporting, it doesn't actually seem fair to be calling someone a winner.
Exactly. Well, you know, they are just projections. You know, you have to think of it that way.
But how could you project to what someone's going to get off of 1%? I mean, to project a winner.
Sure, it's a very imperfect system, you know, absolutely. And the media has actually gotten in trouble for this, you know, before. You know, back in 2000, they announced that, you know, Al Gore was the clear winner, not only of the popular vote, but the Electoral College. And, you know, that was all premature, and the media, you know, seriously got a lot of egg on its face. So, yeah, as far as the media presentations, yeah, they can be very misleading.
Well, you know, it's just, I think they go so much by what has happened in the past to call a lot of these states as well, which to me still doesn't seem fair because you have a different race, you have different candidates going against each other. So
yeah.
I just don't think it's necessarily fair. But as I said in the last show, every modern president to be reelected, Dwight Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Clinton, and George W. Bush all had gotten a bigger share of the vote in their second bid. Doesn't this race seem really, really close? I mean, like almost a repeat of Gore and Bush? I mean, it really does.
Oh, absolutely. I do expect Obama to receive the popular vote, but it's going to be razor thin. I'm thinking, you know, 51% to Romney's 49%. And I do expect Obama to take the Electoral College as well. But again, it's going to be razor thin. He's going to have, you know, just enough to get the 270 electoral votes to win, and that's it. Yeah, it's going to be razor thin. It's going to be a repeat of, you know, what was essentially the Bush, you know, Kerry election back in 2004. It's going to be razor thin. And that just shows you how divided we are.
Well, did anybody hear besides me that we probably won't hear the results of tonight's election for about 10 days? Did anybody else hear that besides me?
That might be a little extreme. It might only be, a couple of days. There's a possibility that it might be, you know, noontime tomorrow.
But not if they're talking about the Ohio issue. Are you familiar with the Ohio issue that I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
But why would – I mean, it almost seems deliberate that someone would send out absentee ballots to everybody, every registered voter this year, but it's never happened before, knowing that Ohio is such a decision maker in this race. That just seems almost to me deliberate.
Yeah, it's one of the drawbacks of the whole Electoral College, and believe me, a lot of people are complaining about the Electoral College, which is rather ironic because it looks like it's going to be the Electoral College that's going to be, you know, thrusting Obama into victory, just as, you know, the Electoral College, you know, pushed Bush, you know, to victory back in the year 2000.
And you were saying what, Kimberly?
Another reason why I refuse to vote anymore.
Right. I mean, that is discouraging. I mean, really, when you hear people are dealing with Hurricane Sandy and they make their ways to the poll and then this whole situation with Ohio, and you're like, well, what's the point? I mean, you know, I really sense that. You know, with some people, they're just like, this is not making any sense anymore. I think people this year, for the first time, really understood the Electoral College versus the popular vote, and people are very unhappy about that, really understanding what does that all really mean. I think this year, despite the fact Gore and Bush went through the same thing, or Bush Jr., I think that people finally are getting it, like, okay, there's something wrong with our system, and it needs to be fixed.
Well, they just called Pennsylvania for Barack, and they only have 7% of the polls in. So that, like that, so you know, those kind of things are the reasons why. It's not like I think that I just don't want to vote because, you know, I'm being rebellious, or I mean, I have reasons, like things that just, you know, like the Ohio situation. Like, you know, they're saying today the people in New Jersey and in New York, they can go to any poll and vote. I mean, these people have lost their home. They've been without power and food for a week now. Some of them are standing ground all night long with axes, with guns, with, you know, anything they can to keep looters. And, you know, they're staying up all night. You know, I mean, what are they going to do? Swim to a local polling place, some of them? How are they going to walk to one when they've lost everything? I mean, it just seems so unfair that we're all caught up in that instead of real humanity, like what they really need, you know, like real, they have real needs that's going on, and we're also caught up in, you know, these politics and the advertisements and all this money that's being spent on a job that pays $400,000 a year, you know, it's just sad.
Oh, I agree. They are predicting that 9 million people will go out to the polls today. And I really want to know, how do they come up with some of these numbers? I think people just sit down and just pull numbers out of the sky. I mean, because like I said, based on my experience at the polls today, I didn't see, look like 9 million going anywhere near the polls. But I'm not saying that that may not be the case in other states, but I just wonder sometimes, how do they come up with these numbers, these polls, these experts are supposed to be coming up with? Some of it just isn't jiving with this election. There's just so much, I guess that the wool is being pulled back and we're able to see things a little bit more clearly about the whole process. And it just doesn't seem like it's what they've been telling us it is.
Maybe they
Then again, oftentimes, you know, the polls have been proven to be remarkably reliable. And to a certain extent, you know, to a considerable extent, you know, that's what is shaping up. You know, southern states like Georgia, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, you know, they're expected to go Romney, and, you know, that's where they're headed. Whereas, you know, northern states like New York, Maine, you know, they were expected to go with Obama, and sure enough, that's what's been happening. And, there are some research methodologies out there that are less than reputable, but generally they are. CNN, ABC, The Wall Street Journal, NBC, there are a lot of actually very reliable, very reputable pollsters out there. So, you know, so when they present figures, I do think that you can have a lot of confidence that, you know, that you can trust these numbers.
Well, you know,
you were saying, what can we?
Sometimes I think that, you know, like you say, that it's reliable. I think it's reliable because it's like, you know, what one person tells the next. You know, the Associated Press is releasing information, or, you know, people are telling the next person, or, you know, things are, information is being passed, you know, and sometimes it could be reliable if they already have the answer, if they already have the president chosen. It could be really reliable if they already know who they want, the banksters, the people who are the biggest donors and the biggest supporters of the advertising of each president, and it could be really reliable for those reasons.
Yeah, unfortunately, perception plays a massive role in politics, and sadly, I don't think we'll ever really get away from that.
We're going to talk about the fear factor in a minute, but if you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight for the topic, election night results. Let's talk about it. What was your experience today? We want to know if there were malfunctioning machines at the place where you voted. How long were the lines? Was there any voter intimidation going on at the poll that you went to? A reminder, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you need to get on the phone lines and dial us up at 347-850-8390, then press 1. Again, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you need to get on the phone lines, dial us up at 347-850-8390, then press 1. You know, what I heard on one station today made a whole lot of sense, and they said it pretty much like this, that there was a fear factor going on in this election, and the fear factor went something like this. Whites who are afraid of change vote for Romney. Whites who embrace change vote for Obama. That blew my mind, because even though I think somewhere in the back of my mind I knew it, it still was like, wow, somebody is saying it aloud. That's crazy. I mean, that's really crazy. So this whole election may hinge upon whether or not, you know, people are afraid or not afraid. That's crazy. But, I mean, afraid of change, I guess I should say, whether or not they embrace change or they're afraid of change may determine this election.
Well, you know what I find that most... the strangest thing about all of this, most people really don't know much about how it even works. Most
yeah.
people don't really know about how everything is set up and how all of this is, you know, how things work with the election, and they're not really that educated. They let the TV determine and tell them, and advertising, and you know, a lot of people are just now realizing how the Electoral College is different from popular vote, and they're realizing, you know, what the system is. And so I find that a big issue.
You know, I totally agree. Like I said, I was watching all the channels today, and if I wanted, if I was confused, let's just say, about what was really going on these stations, if I watched Fox, I definitely knew that everybody thinks that Romney's the guy for, you know,
yeah.
you know, for the White House. And then if
yeah.
I watch MSNBC, I kind of knew that everybody thinks that Obama's the man for the White House. That's not even fair reporting. I mean, it was just so biased on either channel that you watch. And that was just, like, so wrong for people who, like you say, don't really understand the process. But
it's also a mistake to just automatically mistrust, you know, all media sources. You know, I'll be the first to admit that Fox News is biased, you know, to the right, while MSNBC, you know, is biased to the left. That being said, I think there are a lot of you know, reliable media sources out there. I think CNN has a good reputation for reliability, as does the three major networks. I think the New York Times has proven to be very reliable through the decades. If you want to, you know, avoid being manipulated, my suggestion would be to, you know, absorb, you know, a variety of media sources. You know, and that's, you know, one great thing about Blog Talk Radio, because it does, you know, have so many voices out there. But I think it's a mistake, you know, offhand to just dismiss all media, you know, is being tainted somehow. I think that's a mistake.
But I think if all media is really owned by the same people, that means that they tell you what they want you to know. Right?
Yes, but at the same time, you know, I think there are a lot of, you know, responsible journalists out there.
I think what they report on is mostly all the same, and they all put their own, like, little twist or their own kind of opinion or feeling or emotion into it. You can tell from their emotion, like if they're, you know, reporting, like you say, if MSN is on for Barack Obama or Fox News, it's clear that they're for Republicans. So I think the fact is that instead of waiting for the TV or a media outlet to tell you, why don't you as an individual go and look for and educate and research and look for your answers and look for what the meanings and try to find the facts of the issue and seek the truth of the matter instead of, you know, waiting for somebody's opinion, you know, to sway you one way or the other.
I agree with that totally. You know, talking about the two races, because, you know, both of these candidates ran a totally different race, and one of the comments that I heard this evening was Romney did poorly with the way he handled Hurricane Sandy, that Barack Obama was very quick to go to the area and, you know, in his presidential jacket, you know, show up and show the people that were affected by Hurricane Sandy that he cared. And some people were saying Romney made a huge mistake by not going there and doing the same thing. Do you all think that hurt his chances tonight?
Oh, absolutely. And it gets worse because you know, in past interviews, he actually stated that he wanted FEMA dismantled, and he wanted to cut money for FEMA and other, you know, safety management offices and departments. I think it was an absolute disaster for him. And I think that in contrast, I think that Barack Obama has proven himself yet again. He offered a prompt response to the hurricane. FEMA, you know, under his supervision, you know, performed very admirably. You know, even Christie, a Republican who has long been at odds with Barack Obama, actually praised the president for his, you know, excellent service. So it's actually given him a boost as far as the election goes. So I think Barack Obama, he has some additional momentum going that really wasn't there, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Do you agree, Kimberly?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm sorry, do you agree with that?
Not necessarily.
I don't know. I know that, you know, Romney, in my opinion, not going, and I'm not, you know, pro Romney or against Romney. I'm just stating a point. I don't know that him showing up was going to do anything. If he really does not connect with the common man, why show up just to have a photo op?
But you know what? I think that's a big part of the Republican, you know, the Republican Party. I think that they want to kind of step back and let people do their own and not be so dependent upon government and therefore limited government. You know, so I mean, like I said, you know. It's like I live in Florida. I live 3 miles from the ocean. So I know hurricanes come here. We have hurricanes every year. It's not something I'm not unsure of. It's not something that I don't know I'm taking the chance by living here. And if there was a hurricane like Charlie, we were 2 miles from the beach, you know, and we didn't we were without power for 3-4 days. And I'm not saying that there are not people who don't need help in those times of need, but at the same time, we went out and helped our neighbors. We went out and helped cleaned up. There was things that we did, you know, to go and cook, and we grilled. I didn't go anywhere looking for anybody to help me as far as immediate, you know, relief. We did what we thought was humanely right for our neighbors and for each other, and we gathered together, and we pulled through, and that seemed to work quicker than waiting on FEMA to come. Like, look at Louisiana. I mean, they waited on FEMA, and, you know, I mean, that's a perfect example of something that, you know, is kind of not working so well.
Well, I agree. I think the situation with Katrina was...
Yes, but that was because Bush largely dismantled the FEMA program. You know, it wasn't being operated the way it should have been operated, whereas Barack Obama has managed FEMA very well, and because of that, the response has been very prompt, and people are being helped. These problems, they're not going to go away overnight, but clearly we're going in a right direction, and I don't think I'm alone in saying that. A majority of people polled have said that FEMA has operated the way it should have, and that, during this time of crisis, Barack Obama has offered, reliable, steady, effective leadership. And I think we do need government. And events like Hurricane Sandy prove that. I certainly don't believe that all government has to be evil or ineffective. It's who helps to manage government that makes it ineffective or effective. Now, am I saying that government should dominate our lives? Absolutely not. But, still, we have a need for a government. We need the police. We need firefighters. We need the military. And, we do need taxes. Without taxes, we just might as well go to the Stone Age. In society, there has to be a role for government because government, it provides law and order. And sometimes lives depend on government. In fact, they depend on government all the time.
I went back and looked at elections since Ronald Reagan to determine, why people voted the way that they voted and why the candidate that won. And I was shocked at some of the reasoning. Ronald Reagan got elected to fix the Carter economy. It was what people call the Reagan Revolution. Actually, it was not Carter's fault at all, but we looked at the unemployment numbers and the inflation numbers and the high interest rates were in double digits at that point. So Ronald Reagan got it because of that. Then you look at George Bush Sr., the Reagan economy legacy left such a good feeling that he was able to ride in off of that. Then you look at the Bill Clinton era. Clinton got elected under the message of change. When the economy was faltering with a recession, but really won the 1992 election because Bush went back on his promise of no new taxes. Remember he said, read my lips, no new taxes? That's why Bill Clinton was able to easily beat Bush Sr. And then you look at Bush Jr., after the internet stock bubble of the 90s and the Democrats didn't stand a chance, George Bush Sr. was elected. So all of these things happened with these candidates and how they got in. And then you look at Barack Obama. He got elected when the economy in 2008 was discovered to have a major crack in it. And remember, he too ran on change. And I think people were so tired of Bush Jr., in those 8 years, that anything that looked opposite of him was likely to win. So taking all of that into consideration, y'all, what is likely to make a candidate win tonight? What is it that Barack Obama has done so well, or what is it that Barack Obama has not done so well that may determine this election?
Well, I think for one thing, he's withdrawn troops from Iraq. I think that was the right thing to do. He's withdrawing troops from Afghanistan in 2016, which I think is a very measured response. I think that's the right thing to do as well. I think Americans are tired of war. I think we want our sons and daughters home. And, you know, I think that Obama has helped to make the world, you know, a safer place. If he had been truly irresponsible, he would have withdrawn the troops immediately. But, you know, he took a very measured response. I think he's realized that Iraq and Afghanistan are no longer the dangerous regions that they used to be. Of course, we're still going to worry about them. But I think we're far safer, you know, than we were. But, you know, at the same time, we can't solve all of the world's problems. And again, I think Americans are finally tired of war. So I think we want our sons and daughters home. And, you know, Barack Obama is doing that for us. That's one good thing that I think that he's done. Another good thing, and this shows you the value of government, during the Bush Jr. administration, you know, under his leadership, the government virtually stopped regulating Wall Street. Well, what did we get from that? We got the Enron scandal, the WorldCom scandal, you know, what have you. And it wound up costing the taxpayers, you know, millions and millions of dollars. But I think Barack Obama has instituted some very wise reforms. Wall Street is being properly regulated now. And I think we can trust our business leaders now.
Beverly, what do you think Barack Obama has done really well or has not done so well will determine this race?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is that we've become such a socialistic society underneath the whole government itself, especially, like, you know, the Patriot Act is, like, encroached on everything that we do from our day-to-day lives. And
we're getting,
you know,
feedback from you, Kimberly.
You are getting feedback from me?
Yes.
Remember, the Patriot Act, that was George W. Bush's doing. You know, that was not, you know, Obama's idea. You know, please, you know, keep that in mind.
You mean the Patriot Act was not his idea?
That was the Bush administration that instituted the Patriot Act.
Oh, I understand. I understand that, but I'm saying that, you know, it just seems like it just keeps going, you know, on and on and on with us losing the different, our freedom. You know, from flying to just so many things that we can't do without having to jump through 10 hoops. It just seems like the drones, you know, now most police departments have drones and they have access to drones. We don't even have laws about drones yet. And they're already saying that they can fly right up to your windows and look into your house and listen. I mean, that's just, those kind of things just don't work for me.
And you know, the thing is, this election is so important overall. And we have, I mean, it seems as of the last, you know, maybe, I guess since maybe 2001 after 9/11, we have lost a lot of our freedoms. And they kind of put it all under the Patriot Act if they're going to keep us safe by doing these things. But you know, are we really safer? Don't know yet. So that, you know, but I have to agree with her on that. Well, let me ask you another question. The Hispanic vote is very important in this election. And some say Romney did not go after the Hispanic vote at all because either he didn't feel like they would give it to him or he didn't connect with them. Which do you think it was?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Romney took a sharp turn to the right to please his conservative base, which I think was a mistake. But because of that, the Latino community is quite frankly scared of him, scared of him, considering him to be a hardliner, afraid that he's going to, make all Hispanics carry papers with him at all times. Just so they won't be deported. And I think maybe that's not completely valid, but, you know, again, perception can often, you know, make or break you in the world of politics. And because of that perception, or at least in part because of that perception, the Latino community is expected, 70% of the Latino community is expected to vote for Obama this time. Now, is that the right thing to do? You know, that's debatable. But again, you know, perception always looms large.
Kimberly, you agree with that?
Well, I do think that he definitely connects with the banksters, you know, and he is not... I really don't know as far as the Hispanic vote, but I know that there is a huge Hispanic Democratic population. So, you know, I'm not really, you know, I just try not to get so much involved by, you know, dividing up by the races, and it's just not my thing because I still think at the end of the day we're humans. So.
Oh, And I understand, and I think you made that point in the other show, but I think what it boils down to, in order to better understand how this whole race will turn out, we have to understand who, I mean, really, if we're going to believe, you know, the numbers as they come in, we got to understand who voted for him and why they voted for him in order to understand, is this process really fair? And I know that, you know, as a black person, and I have to put race in it because that's how I look at this particular section of this race, I didn't feel like Romney reached out to me at all. I think, in fact, Romney kind of detached himself from African Americans. Don't know why. I cannot even imagine a person running for president not realizing they got to be president to all people. But that's just my opinion, and I'm not being biased tonight. I'm just stating points as I see them, and I did not see him reaching out for either the Hispanic vote or the African American vote. And again, is it because he didn't feel like he could get it, or he didn't care about the vote? Maybe he didn't think it was important. Maybe he thought he had all he needed.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think that he realized from the get going that he wasn't going to get the Hispanic vote or the African American vote, I think to a degree, you know, I think in a lot of ways he has been insensitive to those communities. I think that's probably Romney's number one problem. I think that Romney he represents a very small cross-section of the American population. I think that he represents upper middle class to upper class white voters, and, you know, I think that's it.
I just wanted to make a statement that both Barack Obama and Mitt Romney have 153 electoral votes each.
Are you serious? Wow. Okay, have some more states come in? Have I missed something? I mean,
okay, hold on. It's 158 Obama, 154 Romney right now. So we're looking at a statistical dead heat. Keep in mind, though, that Romney is almost essential that he gets Ohio and Wisconsin, and it looks like that it looks like Ohio is solidly going towards Obama. What I'm looking at right now, Obama is leading Romney in Ohio by 53%. Romney is trailing by 45.5% with the votes.
Ohio
is absolutely crucial because it is, you know, 18 electoral votes. So it's absolutely crucial for Romney to get Ohio, and it looks like that, you know, that, you know, might not happen.
But as we said in the opening of the show, what percentage of the vote is in? See, when they make these predictions like that, or they call it,
sure, absolutely, yeah. Right now it's 21% reporting. So, yeah, at this point they're still very, very misleading. I wish that the mainstream media would be a little more upfront about how they report.
Yeah, it also shows that Barack Obama has 19,130,000 popular votes, and Mitt Romney has 19,825,000 popular votes. So he's got roughly 700,000 more popular vote as of right now.
Wow.
Yeah, but keep in mind, ultimately, it's the Electoral College that determines the election. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Again, that's debatable. Keep in mind that back in 2000, Bush lost the popular vote to Gore, but he won the Electoral College, so, you know, rightfully, you know, he became the next president of the United States in 2000.
You know, somebody said something about Ohio and Florida today. They said, why is it always Ohio and Florida that have a problem? And I have to agree. Because, I mean, obviously somebody smart realizes that as long as you mess up Ohio and Florida, you cannot call the election. That said, will we be looking at hanging chads in Florida tonight?
See,
that could be a possibility. Right now in Florida, it's 68% reporting, which is actually fairly significant, and it's tied exactly. They each have 49.6% of the vote. Of course, those figures are constantly changing. At one point, Obama was solidly ahead, and then at one point, Romney was solidly ahead. So, yeah, we could be facing that situation.
Now, when Bush and Gore were in their race and their presidential race years ago, and the issue came down to Florida. Remember President, or not, he wasn't president then, but remember Bush said, I know I got Florida?
Yeah, and remember his brother was the governor of Florida?
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, Florida is just one of those states I don't even trust since that election. That just went so weird to me. I mean, he sat on his couch with his family and said, I know I got Florida. And he had Florida, so I don't know. I don't think people are going to go for hanging chads this time, though. I really don't. I think if they come back with the hanging chads thing, I think there's going to be some uprising. I really do.
So what exactly do you mean by uprising?
Meaning that the people will speak. The people will say, like, we don't believe in this time. We don't believe in the process anymore. We don't have any faith in the process anymore. If they come back with Florida or Ohio have hanging chads or some ridiculous, you know, situation like, you know, what we're talking about, all those absentee ballots didn't get, you know, counted or something crazy that it was just totally unforeseen. I don't think people are just going to go for it this time.
Well, listen, I think that they probably will because the media will tell them that they've recounted it and, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, go back to work and pay your taxes, and everybody will be mad for, you know, a few weeks, and then people will not think anything of it after a couple weeks.
Wow. And so you think, so okay, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Isn't that like, you know, like when Occupy Wall Street first started, everybody was kind of like, you know, there was a majority of people that were involved and wanting to get involved and then wanted to be interested, and now you don't really hear it because the TV's not talking about it anymore. You know, there's uprising all over the world, and the TV doesn't tell you, and the majority of Americans are consumers, go to work every day to consume, to come home to watch TV, to pay their taxes, and go back on the hamster wheel. So,
you know, ultimately, Florida just might be, I hate to use the word irrelevant, but Obama can still lose Florida and win the election, for better or for worse. It's pretty much all riding on Ohio right now.
See, that's scary because Ohio is just, it seems like somebody very smart thought this thing through a long time ago because Ohio is the state that mailed out all the absentee ballots.
Exactly. And Ohio, how can one state determine a president? That would mean that no one else should even vote. Another reason why I refuse to vote, because it's the system that is not set up for the people. It's the system that's set up for the government and the Congress and the banksters and all the Federal Reserve. It's not set up for the people.
Wow. You know, I think there's going to be some very angry people regardless of how this thing turns out tonight. I mean, because there's just so much unfairness with this thing already. I mean, you can just see it. I mean, you know, you don't have, you can be blind and see that there's going to be a problem tonight. And so you can't win with the situation with Hurricane Sandy and the situation in Ohio, and just it's just too many things that could change the way this thing turns out, regardless of if everybody does the right thing or not. It just is still some very smart people have been at work while the rest of us were sleeping. That's
yeah.
just my opinion, y'all, but that's just the way that seems. But let me ask a question. This particular election, Bill Clinton got out and really pushed for Obama at the end. You know, in the first race, they did not use Bill Clinton because he had such a bad reputation that they didn't think he would be good to put out front to, you know, pull in votes for the Democratic Party. This time they called him the closer. That just shows you how fickle people are. This time they're calling him the closer. Can he close it for Barack Obama tonight?
That could be a strong possibility because, yes, there were some troubling aspects to Bill Clinton's administration. I mean, obviously I was disappointed with the whole Monica Lewinsky affair. You know, that was a major disappointment for me. But, you know, ultimately Americans vote with their pocketbooks. And, you know, how safe that they feel. And for millions of Americans, including myself, the Bill Clinton administration will be remembered as a time of high employment, lower taxes for the middle class, budget surplus, no wars. You know, it was just a very enjoyable time for most Americans. So we weren't at war. We weren't dealing with recessions. We had a healthy budget surplus. The middle class was expanding. And because of that, millions of Americans have great affection for Bill Clinton. And that makes him a major political asset to Barack Obama. I thought it was sort of telling that at the Democratic convention, Barack Obama was, ultimately he played second banana to Bill Clinton. It was Bill Clinton who emerged as the true hero of the Democratic convention rather than Barack Obama.
Jonathan, your voice is muffled for some reason. Kimberly, can Bill Clinton close it for Barack Obama?
I don't know how, because I don't know about the rest of people, but every time I even think of Bill Clinton or see Bill Clinton, the last thing I'm thinking of is him being even trustworthy by any means. The only thing I can keep thinking of is that whole scandal.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, and it's just so odd to me that, you know, that it's just the first thing that pops in my mind when I see him think or hear of him, of his name. That's just the first thing. So I can't imagine that he would do any good, you know. And it just shows that, okay, 4 years ago, they didn't want to use him, but now people have pushed it in the back of their mind and they're on to different things, and now he can come. People have kind of forgotten, you know, and that's just a shame because people should, you know, be trustworthy, and people should, you know, be a good example if they choose to be in those kind of positions, you know?
Yes, but was his successor trustworthy? I mean, George W. Bush, you know, he started the entire Iraqi war on very flimsy evidence, so I'm not sure if his successor was any more trustworthy. And I also have to disagree with you. People did not forget about the Monica Lewinsky scandal, in that they shouldn't. But at the same time, people also remember the many good things about Bill Clinton's administrations. It was a time when gas was 88 cents a gallon. Again, he gave us a healthy budget surplus. African Americans made significant gains during his administrations. More young people went to college. Taxes were lowered for the middle class. And his administrations were the longest period of economic prosperity that this nation has ever had. And, you know, also keep in mind that he, you know, kept us out of wars. So, yes, Bill Clinton has a tarnished legacy, but it's also a very, you know, good legacy as well.
See, the way I look, and I look at this, and I'm gonna move on after this, but as far as Bill Clinton is concerned, I looked at him like he was the president, but he wasn't Jesus. So I felt like if Hillary could live with, you know, his indiscretion, so could I. I mean, because, and the reason I say that, under Bill Clinton, I made a whole lot of money. I really did. I was really blessed, you know, to be self-employed and did really, really well under Bill Clinton. So I just...
As I did.
So it's just kind of hard to get mad at the guy who helped me make a whole bunch of money. And after Bush came in, it's like the bottom fell out. So I don't know. That's just how I look at that error. I mean, it just, I have a different way of seeing it. But if you just tuned in, you've come to Center Stage tonight for the topic, election night results. Let's talk about it. We want to know what your polling experience was today. Was there malfunctioning machines at your polling place? Was there long lines? Did you vote a straight ticket? You know, that's another thing, talking about a straight ticket, y'all. There was some information being put out that said if you vote the straight Democratic ticket. Now, they didn't say this for the Republican ticket, but if you voted the straight Democratic ticket, they were saying that your vote for president wouldn't count. So, you know, just why would people do stuff like that? I mean, it just, you know, so I took my time, and whoever I voted for today, y'all, I took my time and just voted for each individual candidate for the race that I voted for the candidates that I voted for, because I didn't want there to be any problems, even though they said, you know, you don't worry about any rumors. And I'm not saying I voted for Barack Obama or I voted for Romney. I'm just saying when I voted today, I took my time and individually voted for each candidate in each race. But it shouldn't have been that way. It shouldn't have been where people were confused as to if they voted a straight ticket or if they didn't vote a straight ticket, you know, that there would be issues. Why do people do that right at election time to confuse people? It's just, I don't get it. I mean, I guess that is the reason they do it. They do it to confuse people. But I think that the polling place should make that known. I think when you walk into a polling place, that should be written somewhere that, you know, if you vote this way, it's not going to affect that. Or, but, you know, if they know the rumors are being put out there to confuse people. That's just my opinion, that that should be clarified at the polling place itself. Do y'all agree with that, Kimberly?
I definitely do agree that there's a lot of confusion, and people do paint a picture for different reasons for the, you know, for people to get confused and really are unsure of what they're doing or what they're voting for.
I think they said Barack Obama's camp was reporting about 5 o'clock today, this is Central Time, that there were long lines in Virginia. And they were telling people, do not get out the lines, you know, because I guess, I don't know if they were thinking people were going to get tired and just going to leave, or if people were going to, they weren't going to be able to get in after the polls closed. But they sent people to that, to those polling sites, and were telling people, do not get out of the lines. And you would think that people would know, or I'm just the type of person, if I was in line at the time that the poll closed, trust me, I would vote. Somebody would let me vote. But I can't believe that certain people would be so naive that they would think they wouldn't be able to vote if the polls closed and they were already in line prior to the polls closing. I can't imagine that.
There was a girl on my Facebook that said that she had to wait, I think, 35 minutes maybe, and that there was a lady in front of her that walked off because it was just too long. And it was like 3 in the afternoon when she voted, so... But there were they showed on the news earlier that there were people in line, and our polls closed here at 7 Eastern time, and there were still lines of hundreds of people in line to vote.
Wow. You know, I saw one woman in Cook County, which is a county in Illinois. I think it's in the Chicago area. A lady was pregnant, and she was her water broke. Her contraction.
And she stayed in line.
Yes, and 5 minutes apart, she decided on the way to the hospital, because she was 21 years old, she'd never voted before, even though this was her first baby, y'all, she still decided that she had to vote. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know that I would have had that much courage, but she wanted to be a part of this race, I mean, a part of, I guess, the results of this race, so she stopped on the way to the hospital.
Well, yeah. People just view this as being a very, very important election.
That is, I mean, that is considered a very, very important election. But I thought that was just, like, so, you know, interesting that she would think that she had that much time to do that, even though her water had already broke. She felt it important to still do it. But something else that I found interesting, they were saying on one of the news outlets that if the Republicans lost this race, if the Romney-Ryan ticket doesn't win, that shows that there's some serious problems with the Republican Party right now, and that, you know, they don't even know what their issues are and how to get behind their candidates. Do you believe that the Republican Party is really in trouble?
Yes. They need to branch out and try to attract minorities, because minorities are Americans too. You know, Republicans, it has to cease being the white man's party, because whether conservatives like it or not, America has become very, very multi-ethnic, and that's not changing. And personally, I don't think it should change. You know, it's a multicultural nation, and I think both parties, to an extent, you know, need to reflect that.
Wow. You know, we had some black Republicans, black male Republicans on the last show, and they were very proud Republicans. They really were, and they were, you know, throwing their full support behind Mitt Romney. You know, they made some very strong arguments on the last show. Title, Who's Getting Your Vote on Election Day? And I was very surprised, because I told him, I said, you know, just the way I look at the Republican Party, and a lot of people look at the Republican Party, you know, a lot of people would be surprised that you all are verbal about, you know, being Republicans. But they were very proud Republicans, and they felt like anyone who wasn't was confused.
Also keep in mind that according to virtually all polls, 95% of African Americans, you know, they're going with Obama. And I don't think it's simply a strictly racial issue, because, you know, Black America did not really, gravitate towards, you know, Herman Cain when he was running. It's much more complicated than that. I think that the majority of African Americans, and, you know, obviously as a white American, I'm not an authority on the Black community. But I do think that Blacks in this country, they have the perception that the Democratic Party is more in line with their interests. They have the idea that Democrats care about them more than Republicans. And I think there are good reasons why they feel that way. And, of course, since, you know, Barack Obama is the head of the Democratic Party, you know, of course, you know, African Americans are going to gravitate towards him.
It's muffling for some reason.
Can you hear me all right?
Now that's better. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do I need to repeat anything?
No, just go forward.
Okay. All right, I'm done, though. So, Kimberly, I'll give you time to respond.
Well, Kimberly, is the Republican Party in trouble?
I think that they're just all, the whole system is out of touch. I do think that the Republican Party is definitely out of touch with more of the lower class, but I do think that there should also be more light shed on, like, libertarianism and, you know, less government.
Wow. You know, this election, it confuses me for many reasons, because it almost seemed like the people that I guess work in both campaigns, it doesn't seem like they really connected with the real issues. I mean, you all watched the debates. I did not watch them all, I have to be honest. But I don't know if we ever really made the candidates address the real issue. You know, we don't have enough jobs. You know, we really didn't make them tell us how they were going to really bring some jobs back here. The economy is in trouble. The deficit is in trouble. But I don't know that we ever just went at the candidates and said, listen, what can you do to fix these things? And I don't know, and I'm just being honest, this is election night, and I don't know that either candidate ever laid their plan to fix that. I mean, really, and we're going into 2013, and this economy has not been worse in my lifetime, and we have two candidates fighting neck to neck, and we don't know what either is going to do to fix any of that. And I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm just being very honest. It's not about Democrat or Republican tonight as far as this show is concerned. It's really just about how we're going to fix this thing, because if we don't, you know, the unemployment numbers that, you know, I know they're saying they're 8%, but I think they're more like 23%. I really think there's more people out of work than they're reporting. I think the numbers that they're reporting are clearly coming from the unemployment office. So if you're someone who's unemployed and you're not reporting to the unemployment office, then you're not being counted. That said, the numbers are much higher than what they're telling us. And there's just a whole lot of people hurting right now. And I just don't know that tonight we have clear answers from either as to how they're going to fix that. Do y'all agree with me on that?
I completely agree.
Jonathan, you don't see that? Did we lose Jonathan?
I have to admit, I expected more from Obama, but withdrawing troops from Iraq, I think that was a positive first step. Withdrawing troops from Afghanistan in 2016, I think that's another positive step. You know, look at all the billions and billions and billions of dollars that we've spent overseas because of warfare. And Barack Obama is putting a stop to that. And not only is he leaving Iraq and Afghanistan much more stable than they were 8 years ago, he's bringing our sons and daughters home. And instead of spending, possibly trillions of dollars overseas for warfare, you know, maybe we can put some money and use it here. So I
but
think
you know,
those
Jonathan,
are...
you know, I agree with the fact they need to come home. Don't get me wrong, I agree with that. But come home to what? No jobs. So,
well,
I mean,
I think that we are going to have much more money to spend to improve things here. And personally, I think we're on the right track. The Bush administration, they were hemorrhaging jobs. Look at last month's job report. We gained about 118,000 jobs.
I'm going to cut you off there. Right around election time, it seems like everybody plays with the numbers. You know, they say, okay, more jobs were created, you know, right at election time. I was out today, and I noticed that the gas mark was $2.99 a gallon. Well, they haven't been like that in months. So why election day do they drop to $2.99 when we've been looking at $3.60, $3.70 a gallon here?
Yes, there is some manipulation going on. You know, absolutely, that's true.
And that's just wrong. I mean, when I saw that, I thought, $2.99. We haven't seen the $2 anything with $2 on it in months. And so I just found that just like you know, I wasn't crazy to see that. But that Al Sharpton said today, y'all, it made me laugh. Al Sharpton said that Medicare and Medicaid was in jeopardy if we picked up the Romney and Ryan ticket today. He said, basically, this is a quote, he basically said, it's not Obama that you have to worry about, it's your mama. And so I had to laugh because, you know, Al Sharpton's always doing the rhyming. But it's some truth to that. If Romney and Ryan are talking about messing with Medicare and Medicaid, that is your mama. That's your grandmama. And so you have to wonder, why would he do that or why would they do that? And do they not see that there's got to be some cuts coming from somewhere other than the elderly? That's just not where I want to see cuts come from tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And Romney also wants to offer additional tax cuts to the super wealthy, which is just going to add to our deficits. And Romney has made this false claim repeatedly that Barack Obama has gutted the military, which is absolutely ludicrous. Even the Pentagon is not in favor of Romney dramatically building up the military. The Pentagon thinks that the military is just doing just fine, but Romney wants to dramatically increase military expenditures, you know, which is only going to add to our deficit. And if you look back at the past 30 years, the truly big spenders have not been Democrats at all. It's been Republicans. You know, Bush Jr. comes into office with a surplus, and within, you know, 8 or 9 months, you know, we're back to deficit spending.
Jonathan, you're muffled again.
Oh. Okay, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, there you go. No, that's better. And so, I'm sorry, you're going to have to repeat that last bit. We could even make out what you said.
The Republicans have made the false claim time and time again that it's the Democrats who are the big spenders.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the past 30 years, you know, that's just not true. Bill Clinton gave us a budget surplus when Bush Jr. came into office. Within 7 or 8 months, we were back into deficit spending. And Ronald Reagan actually introduced us to the trillion-dollar budgets. So, you know, this claim that the Obama administration is going to bankrupt America. I don't think that's true at all. It's much more likely that Romney, by giving additional tax cuts to the super rich and dramatically increasing military expenditures, that might just bankrupt America.
Kimberly.
Well, I just think that, you, like I said before, that you need debt, you know, to create the, keep the Federal Reserve going. And I think that both parties spend in different areas, but they're both spending. They're both doing things that are not being conservative. They're not doing things to bring our national debt down. They're not doing things to think about the taxpayers. They're thinking about things that I, in my opinion, really should be of the least concern, you know, as far as giving tax cuts to the super rich. And, you know, none of that is important to people who are out working. You know, it's just, like I say, the system to me, in my opinion, is broken. It's the system. You know, it's like picking which captain is best going to steer the sinking ship, is the way I see it.
You know, several Supreme Court justices are in their 70s, so more than likely they're going to be, some of them are going to be retiring during this next 4 years. That said, I was listening to a news outlet today, and they ran a feed from Romney. And Romney basically was saying that he wants to reverse Roe versus Wade. And we know that Ryan feels the same way. That said, if they win tonight, if that ticket wins tonight, it's almost a shoe-in that they're going to do something in terms of either, you know, nominating, you know, someone that thinks like them on that particular decision. And so I really do, and I'm not talking about them, I'm just being honest, y'all. That's scary. I mean, that's scary. And so it really does seem like the Romney-Ryan ticket is going to try to do all they can to reverse that decision. I mean, they've both been verbal on that particular issue. And
oh, absolutely.
I, it was just Ryan who had made comments on that. But this particular news outlet today ran a feed that showed Romney saying exactly the same thing. So, you know, as far as women's rights are concerned, that ticket scares me just a little bit. I mean, and a lot of people say, well, you don't have a reason to be concerned. But when someone says that, you know, and you know, it's not hearsay, you see their lips moving and they said it, that's kind of scary. Do you all agree with that?
Well, you know, Matt Ryan in past interviews, you know, he's felt necessary to try to differentiate legitimate rape from illegitimate rape. I mean, that's just absolutely ludicrous. Rape is rape. And frankly, even though the Republican Party mainstream doesn't want to admit it, I think privately most of them agree with Todd Akin. You know, even in cases of rape and incest and the life of the mother, you know, they don't want abortion. They want to force the woman by law to carry out the pregnancy. And to me, you're talking about government interference. That's the height of government interference. To me, that just absolutely smacks of totalitarianism. You know, what a woman wants to do with her body is her decision, particularly when she's been the victim of rape or incest. I just think that the Barack Obama administration is the administration of common sense.
Now, on that particular issue, I agree that there's something very off with the Republican thinking on that particular issue. And the fact that Romney actually said that he would want to reverse that decision. That's pretty strong. I mean, so, you know, it just seems like it's so much that people really needed to listen to these candidates, and I don't know that the three debates really ever addressed some of the issues that really, I don't know if they intentionally kind of didn't hit at what really needed to be hit at, but that's major. That's absolutely major. And so I don't know, with the fact that some, you know, Supreme Court justices are probably going to be retiring in the next 4 years, that actually scares me about the Romney ticket. I mean, I'm just putting that out there, y'all. It does. There's just no way around that for him and Ryan both to be saying that, then more than likely that's pretty much what they're going to do. But,
and,
you know,
and they want to appease their conservative base, and the conservative base wants the repeal of Roe versus Wade.
And it seems
I think it's a big part of both of their religions as well.
Oh, that's true. Now, we know that Romney is Mormon. What is Ryan?
I think he's Catholic.
Oh, wow. Really? And so this election, you know, yeah, we really, I don't know if we're paying attention, but, it, you know, the people that are running, there's some major things that we probably should have been looking into before going to the polls, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's too late now. I think all polls are pretty much closed now, right? It's 9 o'clock central here. Aren't all polls pretty much closed now?
Not in the Rocky Mountain areas or the West Coast. So, you know, there's, you know, still a lot of votes to be counted. And some really big states, too. You know, California is 55 electoral votes. So, you know, let's keep that in mind, obviously.
Gotcha. Are there any other states reporting yet, y'all?
Yes, absolutely. There have been some really exciting updates. Florida is now just under 90% reporting. Obama is up by 49.9%. Romney is down by 49.3%. And Florida is a biggie. You know, it's 29 electoral votes. So, of course, that can change, and it's a very, very slim lead for Barack Obama. And, of course, Ohio is very, very significant. About half the Ohio electorate, you know, has been reported. Obama is up by 50.7% of the votes. Romney is down by 47.6%. So some very, very close, close margins, razor thin leads. It's going to be a very, very tight election, absolutely. One thing that I do find quite remarkable is Wisconsin. Excuse me.
Has Wisconsin been called already?
Wisconsin is expected to go with Obama.
Huh.
You know, that's what the media is projecting, but currently Romney has a solid lead.
Wow.
With 51.5% of the vote. So this could be a major embarrassment for the media. Because they've actually projected Obama as being the winner, but he's not in the lead. Romney has about a 3-point lead right now. Of course, only 17% of the electorate has been reported, so we still have a ways to go. But Wisconsin could be a major problem for Obama.
You know, looking at this race, I did see a third-party candidate on the ticket. Is the third party coming in at all, or are they even on the radar tonight?
No, I'm afraid not.
Wow.
It's a two-party system these days.
Wow. And I think that needs to change. I think this election is a clear indicator that that needs to change, because if 90 million people decided not to vote tonight or in this election because they were dissatisfied with the choices, I think third-party candidates definitely need to be looked at a little closer, because I just think 90 million votes is a lot of votes. I mean, that could determine a race, I would think.
But you know what? Then again, the last truly significant third-party candidate was Ross Perot. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Ross Perot was a disaster.
But that doesn't mean that a third-party candidate would be a disaster. It just means that there's a lot of people that aren't having their needs met by these two parties. And if there's that many people, and it's definitely something that people should educate on, and people should go out and really do the research on this system that, again, is broken with that many people not wanting to participate.
Oh, sure. I agree, perfectly with you. It's just the problem that, as you mentioned before, memories die hard. And for the vast majority of Americans right now, when they think third party, they tend to think of loose cannons like Ross Perot, and Pat Buchanan.
But most of the people, especially the young voters, most of the people don't really know about Ross Perot. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something that they, if you mentioned to them, they probably wouldn't. I mean, I vaguely remember Ross Perot, and I just don't think for the young voters that they know. I just think that it really focuses, the media focuses on the two-party system, all of the advertisement focuses on the two-party system, and I think it shuns out something else. It's forming you down the track in the way that they kind of want you to, because if they didn't want to make you conform to either a Democrat or a Republican, they would have no problem running against a third party. They would have no problem opening and welcoming in a third party. It makes no sense. If it's something that is it's so minor to them, why not welcome it?
Oh, sure. And again, I agree. Can you hear me all right?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One perception that looms large is that, it's not just the media. It's not just ignorance or complete ignorance anyway. A lot of people actually, they find a lot of stability in either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and there are good reasons for that. They've been around a long time. To a considerable extent, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are brands. They're like Walmart, they're like Sears, Maytag, what have you. People know the names. They know that they've been around for a long time. They see a certain amount of stability there. They see a certain amount of reliability there. So a lot of people, they instinctively trust, the two-party system. Is that a good thing necessarily? Absolutely not. But, that's the general perception with a lot of people. And when I say, a lot of people, I mean millions and millions of people. And they can't all be, stupid or misinformed,
But I think, and Kimberly, I'm sorry, you were about to say something. Go ahead.
But just because that they're like, many brands that are everybody knows those brands, some brands do fail, and there comes along different things. We're evolving. We're evolving as
sure.
people. What we needed 10 years ago as a collective, we don't need anymore, or we may need different options, we may need different things. I think people are starting to realize that they're not really interested in war. They're not really interested in people trying to tell them how to run their day-to-day life. I don't think that they're interested in having them, you know, hover over them as adults who are, for the most part, functioning and can make their own decisions. I don't think that people want the supervision anymore. I think people want to be free, and I think people want to be able to make their own decision if they want to do gay marriage or if they don't want to do gay marriage or if they want to, you know, live in a square house or live in a rounded house. It shouldn't make a difference, and I think that's the majority of people's problem. I think people think that they have to choose one or the other, and I think that they are so dependent on making that choice instead of really taking the power back themselves and thinking, wow, you know, I can make my own choices for myself.
I agree.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I think they think they have to make a choice.
I think you're right. I think 90 million people not voting in this election says a third party is needed, and it also says that we need an overhaul, in my opinion, with this electoral college versus the popular vote. I think it's not a fair process. I think it makes no sense that all 50 states can go and vote and Ohio determines the race. I think that's crazy. Y'all, let's go to the phone lines. 843-276. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hey, Terry. It's me. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Doing all right. Just watching this stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you. These news stations save us a lot of time. We know states like Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, how they're going to vote. We know how Minnesota states are going to vote, you know, in Electoral College. But my thing is on this is I heard the lady was talking earlier. And my political view, I have more of a libertarian view because I feel like that, hey, if you want to smoke weed, that's your business. Don't complain you can't get the job. I do feel like she's because I'm kind of conservative because of money. Like fiscal responsibility, saying, hey, you got to take care of yourself. But I feel like that no one should tell me how to live my life. Mm. And no one should be able to tell me how to live my life. And that's just how I look at things. But like, you said a lot of people aren't voting. I do feel like the problem is that we only present with two parties. But a lot of times as American people as a whole, not talking about anybody on the line, we don't hold these people accountable as a people. That we keep voting in these people for all these, like even Congress, these multiple terms who done nothing for anybody. We keep voting in these presidents who does nothing for anybody except for these lobbyists and these corporations that keep funding them. That's what they care about. But as a people, we don't hold them accountable. We don't. There's no threat of, oh, we'll vote you out of office unless you start caring about our needs. I just how I see things. I'm speaking from the peanut gallery. But
so did he vote today?
Keep going out.
Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
What'd you say, Kimberly?
I said, but we keep going out and voting in the same direction, you know. And that was
every
my
time.
Main reasoning for not voting because I don't want to play into this game anymore. The game isn't fun. It's not a fun game. It hurts a lot of people. And it's not something that I'm comfortable with supporting at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know what, Carrie? I was, you know, I was overseas in Germany one time. It was when Bush was in office. Those people were like, they had to talk to the white guy. Was what they didn't really talk to me about it. But it was like, but you guys voted for Bush twice? They're pretty much saying, how the hell do you be that stupid? You know? And when I was in Turkey, when Obama won. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's how you know how a lot of people are racist and stuff. I ain't see one happy white person like the dog died. But even like a lot of the Turkish people there were like, go Obama. They were happy. Don't get me wrong. I've been very critical of the man also. But it just shows you how different things are. But at the same time, like the lady was saying, it's all a game. Because to me, voting is like, you eat a week-old turkey sandwich or a week-old ham sandwich. Neither one's a good option.
So did you go out and vote today?
Oh, actually, I live in Arizona. I'm from Alabama, so I sent an absentee ballot out 2 weeks ago. Let's say mine probably got lost in the mail out there. You know?
Probably. So let me ask you, in the area that you're living in, what were the polling sites like in your area? Were there long lines?
I don't know, because like I had to mail mine off Alabama. I didn't really keep up with Phoenix. But I know that's heavy red out here anyway. But I haven't really checked out in the polling areas and stuff because I was at work earlier today. And I went to class tonight too, so I was kind of busy. But
who do you think's gonna win it?
Honestly, if El Presidente wins Florida, he wins. But the thing was, I think we can see 2,000 rearing its ugly head.
Say what?
I can see, like, when election was 2000 with Gore and Bush.
Right.
For some reason, I can see that rearing its ugly head again. Something like a repeat of that. I can see that.
Really? And you know what? I think if that happens, which I hope it doesn't, but I think I agree with you that that will probably happen. I think people are tired of that. I think the first time it happened, people are like, wow, can that really happen? But I think people are more educated on the process this time. I don't think people are going to go for hanging chads and stuff this time. I don't.
I don't think that's a problem, if I may interject. It looks like Obama is going to take both Florida and Ohio, and if that happens, the election is over. Obama is going to be the winner, no ifs, ands, or buts.
With what percentage of the vote in?
Okay, in Florida, it's just under 90%. And Obama is in the lead. It's a razor-thin lead, but it's a lead. And
yep.
In Ohio, about 50% of the electorate, their votes have been reported. Obama is up by 3 points. Poll after poll after poll has indicated that Obama is going to take Ohio. That's been going on for months. And it looks fairly clear that's going to happen.
Yep.
Somebody said the last 5 days that Romney just hadn't been, you know, it's like he thought he could just coast in and that he really didn't realize it was a sprint, and he had to keep going until the end. Do y'all think that happened? Did Romney fall asleep? Did he get tired? What?
I think he got overconfident. You know, he was also very confident that he was going to take Pennsylvania. Let's look at the figures there. Obama is at 56%. Romney is at 43%. You know, he was very, very confident he was going to take Pennsylvania. He was very confident that he was going to take Michigan. Let's take a look at Michigan, if you excuse me. Let me see, Michigan. Obama has a very slight lead, but it's a significant lead regardless. Most polls have indicated that Obama would take Michigan, and it looks like that's what's going to happen. And indeed, a lot of Michigan residents are fiercely devoted to Obama. You know, because of the auto bailout, which worked. You know, Romney's response to Detroit's problems was, you know, let them go bankrupt. And, you know, memories die hard in Michigan.
Did he mess up when he said, let Detroit go bankrupt? Did that kill him?
It's definitely hurt him. That and the 47% comment, those were bad comments to make.
Repeat that 47% comment that he made. What exactly did he say?
He was speaking to some very rich voters. It was a very posh, very upper-class fundraising event. And he said that 47% of Americans, they preferred to see themselves as victims and that they were, you know, absolutely happy to sit back and take, you know, aid from the government, you know, which I find to be just absolutely ludicrous. try to make a living off welfare, try to make a living off unemployment insurance comfortably. There's no way you can.
Yeah. You know what, sir? You know what I think? Piggyback what he was saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. Most Americans just want to have a decent job, earn a decent living to take care of their family. Correct?
Yeah,
they can provide that. Provided that.
Yeah, and that's all most people want.
Sure.
And we all been fed a bill of goods saying, hey, you go live, you go do the right thing, you finish school, you get your job, and you be able to get a night. You probably be able to buy a home, take care of your family. Now you got people, like the lady was saying, like all these people didn't vote. Because a lot of people have checked out because they're saying, I've done the right thing, everything I was supposed to do. I can't even get a job. And if I do get a job, I'm severely underemployed. That's why they don't talk about the underemployment rates either.
Mm-hmm.
Or like these veterans. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said that's true. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, and I was saying also, and then also, you look at the military, for example. Benefits are getting cut. They've been trying to change retirement for years. I think 5 years. That whole do 20 years, get your pension for your half your paycheck and your health care. They're gonna be gone. They've been trying to turn this to a 401k style, and that's Republican led. Like
sure.
those who run the Congress now, you know, who makes it the budget. But that's the stuff. So you telling people you go to war. You get shot at. Because we had a guy that I drive fuel trucks. That's one reason I wanted to get out, because a dead-end job. But he had like a mortar hit his fuel truck and it blew a hole in it. Luckily, the truck was empty. And so the thing is that, but they talk about AJ cut your benefits like that, but yet they don't send their kids to war. They don't have to deal with that type of stuff. Now, so I feel like a lot of people have checked out because they're saying, I can't find work no matter how hard I look. I'm still stuck in student loan debt, and I'm trying to go to college, earn a decent living. You know, or I can't get a small business loan because my business is getting crushed. It's just all kind of stuff, and I can see why people checked out.
You know,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Carrie.
I have a person who's been cutting my hair for like 13 years, and I got a haircut yesterday, y'all, and she said to me, I said, have you voted? And she's not from this country. She said, no, I haven't voted yet. I said, are you going to vote? She says, no. And I said, why not? She says, because if I vote, she said, then they'll call me for jury duty. So I thought, okay, now she represents a group, because anybody who makes a comment like that, they represent a whole bunch of other people who think like that. But I wonder how large is that group of the people who are not going to vote just because they think they're going to get called to jury duty. I mean, people are not voting for some of the most ridiculous reasons. Now, some of them probably have what they feel are legitimate reasons.
Oh, I think that that's a very small minority of people who think along those terms. But if I can make a quick statement about the middle class, Romney's tax plan and study after study has, you know, shown this. If Romney's tax plan is enacted, the average middle class and working class household is going to be paying an additional $2,000 to $3,000 annually in taxes. And those studies, they make sense, because Romney favors massive tax cuts to the super wealthy. But, you know, tax revenues still have to come in. So who's going to pick up the slack? Well, that's going to be the middle class and the working class.
You know,
there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Somebody said something that made a lot of sense, y'all, and I'm going to switch gears. Somebody said that Reagan became a two-term president because both times he stayed home. But they said Barack Obama, if he wins this time, will be a two-term president because both times blacks went to the poll. Do y'all agree with that? Anybody?
Well, in this day and age, either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, they depend on minorities. That's just a fact. That's probably why the Democrats will be getting elected, why Obama will be getting reelected. It's because that he's attracted the minority vote. you know, the Republicans, they fail to recognize that. You know, the Republican Party is basically still the party of upper-class white males, and that's actually, you know, a rather small minority.
But you're calling Ohio and Florida for Barack Obama, but you say that that's like a razor-thin elite there. I don't know if you can call it fairly, can you?
No, he talked about, like, those counties in Florida and Ohio. It's
right.
Like in any presidential race, if you look at those states, the counties with a metropolitan city, they usually go Democratic. Those rural areas where they say, screw that, I want Jesus everywhere, they're the ones that are going to vote Republican most of the time. And generally, those are your low-income areas, too. Don't know. Don't ask me why. You don't ask me why they do that, but, you know, that's what areas. But, like, what happens, those counties in Florida with the high metropolitan areas, Obama's carrying those, like Miami-Dade, Broward, stuff like that.
Really? Well, I think, you know what, I think when this is over, and somebody said, you know, you don't want to be someone who tells your grandkids that you didn't vote in this election, you know, I think even when this election is over, and of course I think it's going to divide the country. I think we're there. I think this race has racially divided the country.
Absolutely.
Which is sad, which is really sad, but I've never seen more name-calling and ignorance on some of the social media outlets. I mean, it's crazy.
Yep.
I mean,
Democrats have been guilty of that, too.
Yep.
What happened with this race that made that come out of people? What happened?
Well,
because I think it was the third.
There's just been a decline in civility anyway.
It was what?
I think there's just been a decline in civility anyway. I don't know. I think that America, we're just becoming a more hateful society. It's not just politics. It even goes beyond politics. We just don't take care of each other anymore. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I think the system has plays a big part in that, in dividing us and still keeping the race issue alive and still having people, you know, for the African American community, for Barack Obama, and then the Republicans are, you know, majority of the white or Caucasians, you know, and it's just the pitting against each other. It's just really insane. Instead of the real issues about, you know, let's help one another. Let's look at each other. We're all humans. We're all in this together. We're all dependent upon each other, you know? We should all be helping one another. We should all be taking responsibility and doing what we can for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in watching this race early on, there was like 8 candidates, you know, in that GOP race. It's like they were making their platform, I'm going to distance myself from welfare people. I'm going to distance myself from, you know, anybody that wasn't of their thinking. So it seemed like the name-calling and the distancing became a part of this race early on. And it just continued throughout. Now, I must admit. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was saying, when, like, later talking about the issues and stuff, this is what kills me about these politics. They will spend so much time debating issues that really don't matter, like abortion, gay marriage, all that stuff, instead of stuff that really is pertinent, like unemployment, high interest rates, student loans, our subpar standardized test scores will decreasing by the year, stuff like that really matters.
Now, wait a minute,
abortion
doesn't matter?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Did you say abortion doesn't matter?
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that Roe versus Wade never going to be overturned, in my opinion. Because, you know, the women's groups are very powerful and have a lot of money and voting power. But the black folks need to take note of, but that's a different show, a different day. But my thing is that, like, they fight. Talking about stuff that we know is not going to change. you know. But if they're like talking about like really focused on these underemployment, high interest rate student loans, you know, it's a damn shame where people who have college education can't get a home because they said the debt to income ratio is too high and they got an education out of it. That's the reason they're in debt. That shouldn't happen.
The reason they're in debt is because of the system. The system and the Federal Reserve is the reason why the majority of people are in debt. When you go and purchase a home for $200,000 and 30 years later you pay $600,000+, that's a crime in itself. When you're trying to pay for an education, regardless of what you pay for it, is a crime in itself. Why should we have to pay for the basic right of education? Why should we even have to pay? Yeah, those kind of things are, and you're right, they focus on things that really, in the real scheme of things, don't really matter. You know, I don't want money supported to go for war. I don't want money. I want to help people who really need help. I want to come together as a human group and work together to bring us all together. I don't want to just evolve alone. Being a up alone is very lonely. You know, we all need to move forward. We all, no matter what race, no matter what creed, no matter what gender, we all deserve the right for every opportunity here, no matter who we are.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you know, the thing is, and like she was saying, I'm going to be honest, this is where my libertarian views come in at. Who the hell am I to tell Saddam Hussein, these other leaders in these other countries, how to run their country? Who the hell am I to do that? You know, I just feel like that.
You know what? I think the biggest misconception is I think that we don't really even know the whole story as to really, like, exactly what goes on over there. Because it's all filtered through our media that we get to watch on TV. We don't really know why these places are so poverty-stricken. When we go in there and we dangle money over them and we want them as allies and then we use them and then we provide guns for them and then all of a sudden, they're the bad people, they're the terrorists. You know, those kind of things, people need to wake up and really educate themselves.
I was over there in a couple, like, Qatar, and I was in Turkey. Now, you know, and, like, when I talk to those people, They're like, well, they was over there for oil. See, they'll talk to me, the black guy. They won't talk to the white guy, you know. And what happens is, and to be honest with you, from what I gathered from talking to them, and they're both some really nice people, give you some tea. And I don't even like tea, but that tea tastes great. But, you know, it'll talk to you and real nice. But what happens, and they don't really like white people, especially white men. And what happens, most, to be honest, they just want to be left alone. Live their lives the way they feel like, be left alone. And to be honest, I can see that. You know, leave them alone. Let me tell you something.
If, let's say, Iraq sees us as prospering and we're all working together and we're all able to come and evolve and everyone is able to move forward, everyone is able to be afforded the exact opportunities as the next person, everyone is able to be afforded the basic necessities of shelter, of food. If we're all in this together and they see us prospering, you really think they're going to say, hey, let's go over there and steal them? No, why wouldn't we extend the handout and teach others and share our knowledge with everybody else?
Yeah.
So we can all move forward. So we can provide, I don't want to go over there and tell them, hey, you're going to do it like this. But if I see you, Carrie, prospering and you're living a life of peacefulness and harmony and you're able to eat and you have a smile on your face every day and you have basic, you know, you're in good health and everything is working for you. And I say, hey, Carrie, how are you doing that? Can you show me that? I'm not going to come over there with a gun and stick you up and say, give me everything you have. I'm going to say, hey, you know what, Carrie, extend your hand out. Can you show me? Can you guide me? And more than likely, you're going to say, you know what, let me show you. I do want to see you because humans, we don't want to see the hatred and the fighting going on. We want to see happiness and other people to be at peace, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I 100% agree. Let me ask you, y'all, we're down to our last 7 minutes of the show. Where did the 2 hours go? Listen, I'm predicting, this is just me, there's going to be some lawsuits after this election. I'm thinking the lawsuits are going to come from people saying the machines malfunction. I'm thinking the people in Hurricane Sandy may say, listen, we weren't a part of the process and we should have been because of the disaster, you know, we couldn't have, you know, we couldn't have foreseen that. So we should have had our opportunity to vote. And also think maybe somebody may say this popular vote and this electoral vote thing, electoral college thing is just not right. And the fact that the popular vote may be really close with these two guys tonight. So therefore, some possible lawsuits. Y'all agree with that?
It's a strong possibility because there's a good chance that Romney is going to win the popular vote. It could be, you know, it's going to be razor thin again. We're talking maybe, you know, 51% to 49%. Even though it looks pretty likely that Obama is going to win the electoral college, so it might be a repeat of 2000. But again, ultimately, what it comes down to is the electoral college. And if Obama gets the electoral college, you know, he wins, and that's it. And I think everybody's going to have to accept that, whether they like it or not.
But you know what? Maybe Romney wants this so bad, he's not going to be like Kerry and immediately say, I can see. Maybe he's going to say, I want to fight for this thing. I mean, these people have fought this thing like it was a, you know, 10-rounder with, like, Ali and Frazier or somebody.
More than that. I mean, certainly it's been more expensive.
Yeah. And I just can't imagine Romney's just going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, you know what, I'm just going to call it a day. I mean, I don't see that.
I don't think so either. And every time I keep watching this, the Electoral College votes go up. Like, Barack Obama just had 174, Mitt Romney did too, and now it just slid back. Now Barack Obama has 173, and Mitt Romney has 174. They're almost, even on the Electoral College votes, it's like every time I look at it, it's the same. They're identically, they have the same amount. It's just unreal how this election is going.
However, let's look at Florida. 92% of the votes have been reported, and Obama is leading by 0.2 of a point, which is absolutely minuscule. But a lead is a lead, so if it continues,
but there's
it looks
a margin
like it
for
will,
error in there somewhere, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Isn't there always a margin of error?
Margin of error, you could argue that, but ultimately a tally is a tally. And it looks like certainly Obama is going to be claiming Florida because, you know, 92% of the votes have been counted. And Obama is in the lead. It's a razor-thin lead, but, you know, a lead is a lead. So he just might be getting those 29 electoral votes. But again, you know, Florida may not be the deciding factor. In fact, there's a good chance that it won't be the deciding factor. Keep in mind that Washington, Oregon, California, those are all reliable Democratic states. They vote Democrat. Generally, that's the way it's been for decades. That's 74 electoral votes, you know, right there. And it looks like Ohio is going to go Obama, and almost certainly Iowa is going to go Obama because right now, you know, Obama's at 57%. So that's going to – those extra, you know, electoral votes – that's going to give him the 270 to win with one left over.
I don't know how you just did that math. But okay, so you've gone from 173 to 270?
Yeah. When you include Washington, Oregon, California, you have to keep in mind that California is a massive state. Because it is such a massive state, it has 55 electors,
and California typically votes Democratic. Almost certainly the West Coast states are going to vote Democratic, and that's 74 electoral votes right there. And Iowa, generally, you know, it's been going Democrat. So, you know, that's a few extra electoral votes, and then you have Ohio, you know, being 18 electoral votes. So from 173, you know, when you add up those votes, that gives him 271 votes. All he needs are 270. So he'll actually have one to spare. And there's actually a strong possibility that he's going to take Florida, too. And that's 29 electoral votes. So, you know, he might almost surpass 300. That's a possibility. That's actually more than I thought he would get. But he might actually surpass 300.
Well, that's going to have to be the final word, y'all. 2 hours have come to an end on the show titled Election Night Results. Let's talk about it. Listen, in closing, I'd like to thank Kimberly Knorr and Jonathan Maxwell. Jonathan, tell them how they can get your book, Murderous Intellectuals, and your other book.
You can find my books, Murderous Intellectuals and Piltdown Man and Other Hoaxes, at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon.com. And thanks again for having me again. I had a great time here, as always.
Thank you, Kimberly. Also,
you
remember
too.
We'll be back Friday night. We're here each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central. Hope you'll join us. And listen, we got to get out of here. Our time has come to a close. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.